Ah, Labor Day. One day when you don't have to go to work and you can go fishing or maybe take a run up the mountain. Yeah, it's fantastic. And you can thank a bunch of Marxist and communist domestic terrorists for it. Uh-huh. It's absolutely true. And I'm going to tell you about it. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the show. Hopefully, today's program finds you out fishing or doing yard work, or perhaps you have a neighborhood barbecue scheduled. Whatever it is that you have planned, don't forget to thank your friendly neighborhood Marxist domestic terrorist for it. It's absolutely true. The reason that you're not at work today is because of a bunch of domestic terrorists. Now, you're probably thinking, well, that was a long time ago, and even if there's still some radical Marxist domestic terrorist labor activist working in the United States, it really doesn't affect Wyoming. Well, my friends, you would be sorely mistaken. And this morning, I'm going to tell you all about it. But before we do that, a couple of program notes. If you go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, and go to the bottom of the page, you'll see a tiny little form that says, subscribe to our occasional email list. Now, I set this up a really long time ago, and I've never really used it. So what I'd like to do is start sending out an actual occasional email. So go to the website, go all the way to the bottom, put your email address in there, and subscribe to the email list. There's going to be a lot of things happening with the program in the next couple of months, and I don't want you to miss a second of it. Also, a big thank you to all of you that sent me messages yesterday saying that there was a problem with Spotify and Amazon and iHeartRadio and all of the places that you can download Cowboy State Politics. Thanks for letting me know there was a problem. All of it ought to be fixed right about now. So please keep doing that whenever you see an issue. Last, you'll probably start to hear some different type of ads play on the program. That's an automatic Podbean thing. It's no different than YouTube or Pandora or any of those other platforms where they insert automatic ads. We're going to see how it goes, and if we don't like it, well, then we'll just kill the whole thing and turn them off completely. In the meantime, though, I've got to pay for this extravaganza somehow. All of that being said, on with this morning's program. We're going to take a little break from local politics and talk a little history. We haven't done that for a while, and let's all be honest, there's been a lot of stuff happening both here locally and across the state. I thought maybe we should take a little break from it. Clear the air, get our thoughts in order. So while you're out fishing, I thought I should tell you exactly why you get to do that and I'm still behind the microphone. Well, the answer to that is easy. I would much rather be sitting behind this silver microphone talking to you than just about anywhere else. So it's a win-win for both of us. We begin this morning with today's edition of the Pravda on the Platte. Every time, that just makes me laugh. But today, it's particularly poignant since we are talking about communists and Marxists. As you all are keenly aware, the Red Star hardly ever gives you both sides of the story. And today is certainly one of those cases where they don't. On page 3, a full page talking about the labor unions and what Labor Day is. Let me just read to you how they say it started. And I quote, "The national holidays were established during a period of pivotal actions by organized labor. In the United States, Vachon, and they're talking to some expert somewhere, points to the Pullman Railroad strike that began in May of 1894, which effectively shut down rail traffic in much of the country. Quote, "The federal government intervened to break the strike in a very violent way that left more than a dozen workers dead," Vachon says. "Cleveland soon made Labor Day," that's Grover Cleveland, "a national holiday in an attempt to repair the trust of the workers. A broader push from organized labor had been in the works for some time. Workers demanded an 8-hour workday in 1886 during the deadly Haymarket affair in Chicago," notes George Villanueva, an associate professor of communication and journalism at Texas A&M University. In commemoration of that clash, May Day was established as a larger international holiday, he said. End quote. Oh, so all of this is because of the valiant efforts of labor activists fighting against the man. Right. I'm sure those labor activists didn't do anything that would cause the President of the United States to call in the United States military. And no doubt, all of them looked just like the picture that's in the Red Star this morning. Smiling, sunglass-wearing, valiant Hollywood writers striking for your right to original content. I mean, come on. It's obviously the civil rights issue of our time. And while I'm on the subject, here are my thoughts on this whole Screenwriters Guild strike, whatever they call it. First, I would be really pissed if somebody took my content and used it for their own purposes. As you all know, I put a ton of work into this program to make it the news and media powerhouse that it has become. And let's be honest, it absolutely is. I live rent-free in all of the Redcoats' heads. What more could you ask for? But that's not what the Screen Actors Guild is fighting about. They're fighting about money. And they have some concerns about AI and not being the exclusive people that write for all of these Hollywood programs that we consume on a daily basis. Well, not right now, because they're not working. Well, anyway, if I have a revenue problem, it means that I need to go bust my butt and find some more sponsors to pay for this whole thing. It's entirely on me. It's my program. Everything that happens with it is completely dependent upon my efforts, which is how private business should work in America. And it just so happens, if you turn out an exceptional product, people will buy it. So maybe if the screenwriters want some more money, they should start doing some better work instead of rehashing the same old movie 27 different times. I gotta tell you, I am so sick of all those Marvel movies. They were great the first time around, not the 37th or whatever number they're up to now. Now, they're just kind of dumb. Or perhaps they could try coming up with some original stories that resonate with their audience. Entice people to come and watch their motion pictures instead of shoving their political bullcrap down everybody's throat. Allow me to give you an example. I'm a Star Trek fanatic, but I have a hard time watching any of the new Star Trek series because it seems like the LGBTQ agenda is the only thing they talk about. Frankly, I'm done hearing it. More science fiction aliens, less shoving your gay agenda down my throat. So they could try one of those two things, but instead, they're striking. As if they don't already make a buttload of money, way more than you and me. So now that I've put my soapbox away, well, that one anyhow, you have the Red Star telling you that it really wasn't that big a deal, it was a little riot, and a bunch of protesters got hurt. Unfortunately for the Pravda on the Platte, there's quite a bit more to this story, and I'll tell you about it in just a second. But first, what the Screen Actors Guild ought to be doing, creating the conditions necessary to have an absolutely obscene profit timeout. Today's Cowboy State Politics Labor Day special is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe a roping arena or even a giant warehouse for your business, then you need to call Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So it doesn't really matter what type of building you've been thinking about for your property. Call Nick and Jesse. Tell them what you've got in mind, and they'll handle all the details. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. If you've been thinking about buying or selling a piece of property, the real estate agent that you need to talk to is Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. It's really important to have a real estate agent that you can trust. One that's not just in it to sell you a piece of property and then to leave you high and dry. Get this, Rebecca's been known to talk a buyer out of a piece of property simply because it didn't meet their needs. So if you're thinking about buying or selling, give Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. That's Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. And now, back to why you're actually celebrating a bunch of Marxists today. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, David Iverson, behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone, documented to be almost always right 98.67% of the time. I really love how that number just keeps going up. You know, the cowpie should try it, but of course they have Trotsky, so just about every article he puts out, you know, that number would continually go down for them. But hey, man, those are the breaks. So anyway, we were talking about Labor Day and how really it's a holiday for Marxists and communists, even though you've been led to believe that it's a big thank you from your employer that you get the day off work. Isn't that great? As I continue to tell you, it's important to understand where things come from and how they came about, because the truth is almost always a lot farther away than we're led to believe. And that really is the case with today. I mean, the Red Star is telling you that it's Labor Day and it's fantastic and everybody's fighting for your right to have good working hours. There's no doubt that during the Industrial Revolution, which is a little bit later than the time period we're talking about, but working conditions were not that great. I mean, a lot of people worked 15, 16, 18 hours a day and didn't have any days off. So there's no doubt that changes were needed. But the question comes in as to how we make those changes happen. If you're a leftist, it always comes through violence, and that's exactly what happened with Labor Day. I first recorded this last year for Labor Day. Come on, even though I'm working this morning, I'm still going to take the afternoon off. And since I'm not a big fan of recreating the wheel, I thought I'd just play it for you. You're going to hear a difference in the audio. That's because it was recorded on the original Silver Cowboy State Politics microphone. I hadn't upgraded to the most powerful microphone in Wyoming media yet. So anyway, that's the difference. Without further ado, here's what really happened to create your Monday fishing trip. It's all because of a guy you've never heard of, a bunch of socialists, and a weak president, we wouldn't know anything about that right now, who negotiated with terrorists. Most of us think that Labor Day is just a day that we get off work because our federal government is so benevolent that they created a whole national holiday where we can just go goof off and do whatever it is that we want. Truth is, it's all due to a bunch of socialists and a weak president who negotiated with terrorists. The whole thing started with this guy named Peter J. McGuire, who, at the age of 15 in 1867, first got involved with the labor movement, which was principally run by a group of burgeoning socialists. Now, at the time, America was going through the Second Industrial Revolution. Working conditions in factories were absolutely deplorable. People worked 12 to 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, with little to no pay. Still, at that time, child labor was prevalent. And factories were dirty, nasty, dangerous places. And the truth of the matter is, at the time, workers didn't have any rights. There was no compensation. If you got hurt on the job, you were just kind of out on your ear. And really, even if you were able to work, there was little to no compensation. We could sum up the whole discussion of working conditions during the late 1800s as just absolutely horrific. So many workers were gravitating towards the labor movement. And at the time, the labor movement was heavily influenced by Marxists. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say about the Marxists, but they're nothing if not opportunistic. Taking up the cause of the downtrodden, workers of the world, unite, and all of that stuff. At the age of 22, in 1874, Peter McGuire founds the Social Democrat Workers' Party, which later became known as the Socialist Labor Party. It's the first socialist communist labor party in the United States. He also co-founded something that you've probably heard of because it's active in Wyoming, the American Federation of Labor, the AFL. Now, we know it today as AFL-CIO, but he co-founded it with this guy named Samuel Gompers. Still, to this day, it's the most powerful labor union in the United States. Now, Peter McGuire's stated goal was to convert and transform the United States into a socialist country using labor unions. So there's no doubt that this guy is a Marxist. And even if you go back to his partner in crime's papers, Samuel Gompers, he even says that Peter McGuire was a devout socialist. So anyhow, some labor leaders up in Toronto, Canada, invite Peter McGuire to come up to one of their festivals. They just said, you know, hey, we have this labor festival and it's great and we have a parade. So McGuire goes up there and he absolutely loves it. And he comes back and he says, guys, we got to have a parade. Now, imagine if you're a factory worker and you've been working 7 days a week with little to no pay, and some guy comes up to you and says, hey, we got to have a parade. You're going to be like, what? We have to do what? Well, anyhow, McGuire picks the 5th of September because he said that it was halfway in between Independence Day and Thanksgiving. Well, they have a parade, and it was a gigantic hit. Like 30,000 people in New York City took an unpaid day off of work, and they listened to speeches about how fantastic Marxism is and about the 8-hour workday. So there were some good things, too, that was happening during this whole parade. Well, in a short amount of time, over 30 states had declared the first Monday of September to be Labor Day. See, at the time, the federal government was not recognizing national holidays. You know, if you're a state, you can do whatever you want, but the federal government isn't going to do that. So 5 years go by, and the federal government still had not recognized the first Monday of September as Labor Day, which, of course, did not make our Marxist friend Peter McGuire or his comrades very happy. In 1894, the economy tanked big time. Companies were shutting their doors, people were getting laid off. It was not good. Well, there was this guy named Pullman. Now, he owned the Pullman Car Company, not automobiles, train cars. Now, they made the most exclusive train car you could possibly imagine. I think that they were like sleeping cars, but anyway, they were fantastic. Now, who could afford a fantastic train car in 1894 when the economy had tanked? Rich people. Now, Pullman, he was sort of a visionary. You know, he had a pretty good relationship with his workers. And what he did is he built a town for his workers. I mean, he had a hospital and a school and houses for all of his workers. I mean, we had several of those in Wyoming, mining towns mostly. Well, anyhow, like I said, in 1894, the economy tanked. So Pullman had to fire a lot of his workers, and those workers that he kept, he reduced their wages. The one thing that he didn't do is reduce the price of the rent in his town. So not only did people get fired from their job, they still had to pay the same rent to their former employer. This is what opens the door for the Marxists and the labor unions. The American Federation of Labor, and the Railroad Union. You know, Peter McGuire and Samuel Gompers. So the Railroad Union decides to strike, and what always happens with Marxist rallies is they always turn violent. The group burned hundreds of Pullman train cars, And labor unions across the country decided to stand with the workers in Chicago. So they went on strike too. This essentially brought commerce in the United States to a screeching halt. Now, while they were burning Pullman train cars, they also burned some train cars that contained U.S. mail. So Grover Cleveland, who was president at the time, yeah, another member of the crappy U.S. President Club, decides to send 12,000 U.S. troops into Chicago to stop the riot. As you can imagine, the Union rioters didn't like that very much, and so they started attacking the troops that Grover Cleveland had sent. Of course, the troops returned fire, and two rioters were killed. Now, you have to remember that unions across the country were burning train cars. Commerce was at a standstill in an already tanked economy in 1894. Well, none of this played very well for Grover Cleveland, and it was a midterm election, and the Democrats didn't want to lose. So Cleveland and friends decided to negotiate with the terrorists, unions. They rammed a bill through Congress, which was set to take effect 6 days after the end of the riot, strike. The reason for the delay in the bill taking effect is that we don't negotiate with terrorists, or we don't want it to look that way. So the Marxists agreed, the riot, strike, was ended, and the first Monday of September was declared Labor Day. Which, of course, is exactly what Peter McGuire wanted from the very beginning. It was the first gift to labor unions in the United States, the first of many. So really, Labor Day is a Canadian idea that was picked up by a Marxist who was the founder of the American Socialist Party that was fueled by a nationwide terroristic riot and that was the result of negotiations between a terrible U.S. president and the American Federation of Labor, the first Marxist labor union in the United States, and ended up being the first gift from the U.S. government to labor unions, the first of a ridiculously long list of gifts. If you're wondering, the Democrats lost both houses of Congress in the 1894 election. I guess Americans really don't like gifts to Marxists after all. So now you know what the origin of today's fishing trip is all about. Marxists, unions, negotiating with terrorists, and bad presidents. So there you have it. Happy Marxist Domestic Terrorist Day. Coming up on the program this week, I've got two more great shows planned for you. On Wednesday's edition of the program, we're going to talk about the Transportation Committee and how they want to raise gasoline taxes. Yeah, that's right at the time where your property taxes are going up. Those guys are just brilliant. But if you talk to them, it's not a tax increase. Yeah, that's Senator Bonehead for you. And then, on Saturday's edition of Weekend Update, my interview with none other than Blaze TV host Chad Prather. I'm telling you, that interview is fantastic. And also, don't forget about Thursday's live program where we're going to talk about the news of the week. I'm sure after Marxist Day, there'll be plenty of stuff to talk about. So that's all coming up this week on Cowboy State Politics. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.